When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know and that's
the Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for part two, the weekend mailbag. So for that, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right back into the mailbag. Next question comes in from CC716. He says, everyone talks about Morgan Moses being a great pickup, which I guess I don't truly agree with, because if you look at his grades, he's pretty terrible in pass protection. Am I just being picky, or do you somewhat agree? This past year, he was good in pass protection. He was above average. I think he graded out as a 70. Now, again, I haven't watched the tape myself, but just going based on what Pro Football Focus had him graded as, which could be a mistake, obviously, but I have heard from other people whose opinions I trust that he was a competent pass blocker. He's better as a run blocker, but still a good pass blocker. I think where the confusion comes in is that the previous three seasons, he was more or less an average player, and this past year was kind of his breakout. So you'd be betting that that year was the year where he started to make that ascension as opposed to just an outlier season. But I do think you're being a little bit on the picky side, especially since nobody's saying that Morgan Moses is an elite tackle. They're just saying that he's good and that he's better than what they have at that particular spot right now.
Yeah, the Washington football team offensively wasn't much to watch last year. That defense was a whole lot of fun to watch and really awesome. That offense, they had some players. I love Gibson and McLaurin. I had them on my fantasy team too, so I wanted to watch them, but that offense was not it. So I wasn't watching it a lot, and I wasn't about to go digging through Morgan Moses' tape on the chance that they might sign him. But the people I talked to, everyone I talked to about it that would know more about offensive line, they all said without question he's an upgrade over Fan. Like, they don't even stop thinking about it. There's nothing to think about here. He is an upgrade over Fan. So that's it. Now we'll have to see what if they go and actually this deal does become official. We'll have to see the contract, how much money are we talking and how long. But if he's an upgrade over Fant, he's an upgrade over Fant. That's an upgrade at a very important position. And again, Fant is just this year. Go ahead and do that. Offensive line is very tough. It's super hard to find great offensive linemen. It's really, really hard just to find good offensive linemen. So if you got a shot at one and he's better than what you have, you go take a shot.
Should also point out that while the Washington offense was not all that good last year, the offensive line was good. They were a top 10 offensive line last year. And As everybody who listens to the show knows, my friend Larry is the nephew of their offensive line coach, John Matsko. So I'm a little bit biased, but I do think that John Matsko is one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. Maybe part of the reason that Morgan Moses broke out last year is because Matsko helped him unlock his potential. But that offensive line was very good last year. So to be able to get Moses, as you said, Chris, no reason to overthink this. No one's saying that he's a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro right tackle. He is, however, better than George Fant, and that is what's really important in this situation. I want to ask you about this, Chris, because we got a bunch of questions about it, and I don't want to talk about who it was specifically because I don't want to put you in that kind of position, and I'm not even going to talk about exactly what the question was. It was one of the players that was asked a question that he clearly didn't want to answer and that a lot of people thought was unnecessary, considering the fact that it was a question that was about something that happened a couple of months ago and it was based on a quote that was given, and it just didn't seem to have a whole lot of news value. It did involve Sam Darnold. So at this point, I don't really see what the purpose of asking about Sam Darnold is. And people have asked, why was this question asked? Why is the beat doing stuff like this? And my answer to this is, I think that sometimes beat reporters outsmart themselves. They're just looking for something to ask, and they don't always have the best ideas. And so they convince themselves there's a question that they could ask that they might get something useful, and it just bombs. I think the problem with this particular case, and if you want to know what I'm talking about, you can do a search on Google and figure it out, was that the question was asked. It was clearly a bad question, and the person that was asked the question didn't like it and seemed to react poorly to it. And yet the reporter continued on with the line of questioning even after that, when there was nothing to be gained from it. And again, it was a question about Sam Darnold, so it didn't seem to serve any purpose. I think this was just one of those situations where instead of knowing when to hold them, when to fold them, and when to walk away, this particular member of the Jets beat just doubled down on it when he shouldn't have. But I didn't think that it was anything that was that bad. It was just hopefully something that this reporter looked back on and said, it wasn't my finest moment. Chris, we both know when you're talking a lot, when you're asking a lot of questions, when you're around these players, when you're under constant pressure to get some sort of quote, a lot of times you'll talk yourself into saying something or asking something that really isn't the best idea. And then you go and look in hindsight and go, yeah, really, that wasn't a great move for me. Do you think that that's what happened in this particular case?
I know what you're referencing, the gist of it, but I didn't see the way that it was exactly asked, exactly how it all unfolded. But I'll just say there's a couple things here. I talked about this on the pod we're going to do, going back over my time covering the beat, when I asked a question to Chris Jenkins, and I just kind of bumbled and tripped over myself. And that actually happens even more now with these Zoom meetings. There's a lot of pressure on asking the question, and because you want to try to get your words, ask the question as quickly as and clearly as possible and get out. But then there's this weirdness with the Zoom of who's asking the question and jumping in there. And sometimes just a completely normal and question that everybody would expect to be asked can still kind of come out clunky and awkward. And it can happen in press conferences too, because it's a weird thing. You're sitting there, and like if we're talking at a regular press conference, and a player or a coach is answering a question, and then we're all just sitting there like waiting for them to finish, and then so we can jump in and ask the next question before anybody else does. And then sometimes you get in such a rush to get the question out that you just kind of clunkily get the question out there. But then there's also the sometimes, hey, this was a light practice today, didn't get as many stories as I wanted today, I need to come up with another story here, let me try this. Sometimes it's just throwing darts at dartboards. It's just, hey, let me see if I can throw this question out there. And then I could maybe get a response that could provide three more articles for me over these next couple of days. So it's probably some mixture of all of that. Again, I didn't actually see the video or hear it. I wasn't on that call. So I can't tell you exactly what it was, but my guess is it's probably some mixture of all of that. Obviously, you know, what was said months back ago, we know what was happening there. He was just saying Sam Darnold's the quarterback now. And so he went back to that. Was he going back to that purposely to try to get a reaction out of him? I don't know. I do know that reporters do that sometimes. Sometimes they want to do that just to get a reaction out of the player. And then they're hoping that they can get stories out of that. Sometimes that's not what it is, though. It could have just been a miscalculation. But like I said, I think it's probably a combination of it. And I probably think that a lot of it was just clumsy and clunky. And that can happen. You feel this pressure to just blurt the question out and as quickly and as cleanly as possible. And sometimes you trip over yourselves. but it's probably partially that, and then a large part of just throwing a dart. Hey, let's see what happens here. Maybe I can milk three or four articles out of this.
Is that something that's common on the beat that you found throughout the years, that somebody will do that really with the intent of just trying to create some material for themselves? And assuming that if they're doing that, a lot of it is to get their editors off their back too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's part of it. It absolutely happens a lot, often, and especially at like this would be a prime time for it to happen. OTAs are ending. We didn't get as much out of the OTAs as we normally get out of OTAs. Maybe, you know, a lot of times, I used to joke when Rex was the coach that the best thing about Rex being the coach was that there was always a story written for you. You could have absolutely nothing to think to write about that day, and you walk into the Rex presser and his quotes, he's given you five stories that are basically write themselves. when you don't have that, especially on a day when you're expecting it, sometimes reporters will panic a little bit and be looking for a story. And maybe they hone in on it, one specific thing, or maybe it's just let's throw some darts at it. But yeah, that's definitely, it definitely happens. And you know, reporters ask questions for lots of different reasons. And I've talked about this before too. A lot of times we ask a simple, obvious question and I know what the answer is going to be. I'm not asking you because on that question, because I want you to tell me, I know what it is there, but I want your words. Your quote is going to, the player's quote is going to hold more weight than just me simply saying it. So sometimes that's it. Sometimes it's just give me some color to on this, you know, like spice it up a little bit. There's multiple different reasons why reporters ask certain questions. But with most reporters, most of their questions, they're hoping that the player gives an answer that they can milk for two or three stories.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Somebody asked about which shows we've been watching lately, if there's anything we've been binging, either new or old. And really, the only thing that I've been binge watching lately is Dark Side of the Ring. I just finished season 3, and Dark Side of the Ring, I don't know how to explain it other than to say it's almost like VH1's Behind the Music, but for pro wrestling. So they take a look at some of the seedier stories and personalities in the professional wrestling field. And the beauty of it, though, is you don't have to like professional wrestling to enjoy these stories. They're more human interest stories. There's a lot of really messed up stuff. And Chris, I actually think you would like this a lot. You should check it out. It's on Vice, but you can catch them all on YouTube or Daily Motion or wherever they put those up. They're pretty much always available to watch. I would love to hear what you think about it, actually, as somebody who's a non-wrestling fan, because I think these are stories that would appeal to the general public, regardless of whether they enjoy pro wrestling. But Chris, what have you been watching? Have you been binging anything?
Well, again, I've been binging a whole bunch of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically, I have one of my TVs has just been on to tennis for like basically since January. I have the 4 TVs downstairs. One of them is always on tennis. I just started rewatching The Sopranos the other day.
Mm.
I just got randomly inspired to rewatch The Sopranos. I'm even like creating a little list of comparing people in my life to Sopranos characters. So that's going to be a lot of fun for me to do. And if I decide to share this list with any of my friends and let them know, then that's going to be big problems. They're not going to be so happy about that. So I've been rewatching Sopranos. What else have I been watching? I've been watching a lot of stuff. I haven't gotten to binge it yet, but I did. If you like the Marvel stuff, the first episode of Loki was absolutely fantastic. Like, I was not super looking forward to it, but that first episode was just absolutely fantastic. I forget what I was watching before. I watch so much stuff and it blends together, but right now I'm diving head first into Sopranos, and I just got randomly inspired to watch it. I don't even know what did and why, what inspired me. And then I turned it on, and that like first episode, and I was just like, oh yeah. I was like, what am I doing? Why did I wait so long? I am fully back in this. And it's such a great show.
Next question comes in from Jets and Golf Bets at Busy. He says, I have PTSD after my last submission, never cracked the 3-parter, and I listened to all 3 pods only to feel like a kid on Christmas whose bicycle wasn't under the tree. He said, with that in mind, I've got 2 questions. Number 1, who will the Jets team MVP be, not named Zach Wilson? And number 2, have you had breakfast pizza? It's here in the Midwest. I'm pretty sure we actually answered these questions, but I'll do it again. As far as team MVP, that's not Wilson, Quinn, and Williams. And no, I've never had breakfast pizza. I'm not in a hurry to try it. Maybe if I'm in the Midwest, though, I will, just out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah, we definitely answered the breakfast pizza question. I said every time I see it, like, I'll usually see it on a menu at a diner or something. But I'm always, when I go to a diner, I'm going for breakfast food, like straight up breakfast food. So I'm just going to get eggs or French toast or something. So I've never actually pulled the trigger on a breakfast pizza, but maybe one day. But it'd have to be, I'm a strictly breakfast guy in the morning. I need breakfast and I want breakfast food. I will eat breakfast for lunch and for dinner, but breakfast, my first meal of the day has to be something breakfasty. And breakfast pizzas, a little too non-breakfasty, but I'd give it a go sometime. The team MVP, not named Zach Wilson. Quinnen Williams would be great. I'll throw this out there. CJ Mosley.
That's going to wrap up part 2 of the mailbag. Make sure that you're following Chris on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider, and reading his very big deal work over at jetsinsider.com. And check out everything we're doing over at playlikeajet.com. Luke Grant's got an over-under betting guide if you want to get in on the action early and start betting on some of these teams' over-under win totals for the 2021 season. And speaking of Luke, he's doing some great work on our YouTube channel right now. Film breakdowns of Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson. He's got one of Michael Carter as well, and so much more. Plus, Caleb Pace's commentaries, Pace's playbook. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And make sure you give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.